God has so much power that when you come into his presence, you do not contaminate him. Do you hear me? You do not contaminate him. You do not make him unclean. But he has so much power in terms of cleansing power that you can come in with your mess and God will make you holy just by the concentration of his power. And another statement that was said in that message was this: God is the only one who will take a man who's filthy, covered in dirt, dip him in blood, red blood, and bring him up, and the man will be as white as snow. That's how much power God has. So we are just so grateful that our God hears from heaven. He hears our prayer, that God is going to answer tonight. Sometimes God will direct us to pray in a particular direction, in a particular way, because God wants us to address certain things. The Bible says we do not know how to pray. We do not know how to ask. And sometimes when we ask amiss, we ask the wrong way. And sometimes we ask for the wrong things, but God wanted to give us an advantage. So he sent us a helper, a leader, a paraclete, the one who's going to lead us and guide us into all truth, the Holy Spirit, to guide us in our prayer, to lead us in our prayer. Because the Bible says no man can know what is in the mind and the heart of God except the Spirit of God. He knows the mind and the will of God. So if you want to pray with what is in, to pray what is in alignment with the will of God concerning this hour, we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. So whichever way he desires to lead us in this prayer tonight, we just say, Holy Spirit, have your way. Lead us and guide us. Let our hour together be an hour that is effective. Let things that need to be moved be moved. Mindsets that need to be changed be changed. Things that need to be transformed. God, you are the transforming God. Do what only God can do. And I also want to say this before we dig into our prayer. I just want to let you know that God is waiting to hear what you have to say. He's waiting to hear what you have to say. So have all boldness, have all the expectation that God is going to hear your prayer, that God is going to hear your cry. Sometimes things before we even ask, before we even speak, before we even say anything, before some things, before even thoughts enter into our minds, God knows already, and he has already made provision as to how he is going to answer when you ask your question, as how you're going to how he's going to answer when you make your petition. And finally, the Bible says we must come boldly before the throne of grace to bring our petitions and to make our requests known. Why? Because there is blood on the mercy seat. The blood of our Lord and Savior, the Redeemer himself, Jesus Christ, the Lamb that was slain before the foundations of the world, has made a way for us. The Apostle Paul said, we were wretched sinners such as I, speaking of himself, that we were given advantage, we were given authority to come into the presence of God, to make our petitions known, to bring our requests, because God is so full of grace and he is merciful. So as we pray tonight, we are not coming before the throne of God in our own righteousness, because it is as filthy rags and it is disqualifying in the presence of God. But we are coming in the righteousness of the Lamb that was slain before the foundations of the world. We stand not in our own name, but in the name that is above any other name. That name which the Bible declared that every knee shall bow at the mention of that name, the name of Jesus. Father, we echo the words spoken by those of the ancient days when they said, hear our prayer, God. Attend to our supplication tonight. Father, we know that we have many needs that we have, but God, you are the all-sufficient God. You say, you will supply all our needs according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I declare, oh God, tonight that there is sufficiency in you. If anybody needs healing, God, there is adequate healing in you, God, they will receive their healing tonight in the name of Jesus. Blind eyes will be opened. Deaf ears will be able to hear. Crooked places will be made straight. Mountains will be brought low. Valleys are going to be raised up, oh God, because you are intervening in somebody's situation. God, we know you required for us to walk by faith and not by sight. By faith, we declare that, God, there are great and mighty things that you have already done that we haven't seen yet. Things that you have already done that we are about to enter into. Father, we haven't seen them, but we just declare that indeed this is the Lord's doing and it is marvelous in our sight. God, you have done great and mighty things, God. You have made a way where there was no way. You brought breakthrough when we are not expecting any. God, you brought elevation when we are not expecting any. God, you released a miracle, God. God, when things were impossible, you made it possible, oh God. When we were low, you raised us up, oh God. When we were weak, your strength has been made perfect, oh God. In our sorrow, you brought joy, oh God. In our pain, you brought healing. God, you have done great and mighty things. We raise up our hands unto you, oh God, unashamed, and declare that you are God, and there is none like you. The song said, I've searched all over and I cannot find nobody who is like God. Hallelujah. We thank you, God. We praise you. That you have eyes to see, oh God, you have ears to hear, and God, that you hold things together by the word of your power. We say, God, today let your word go forth, oh God, and bring order into somebody's life in the name of Jesus. God, where there has been chaos and confusion, send your word as you did in the days of old when there was darkness upon the deep, oh God, and you said, let there be light. We say, God, let there be light in somebody's darkness, oh God. Let there be order where there is chaos and confusion. Let there be clarity, oh God. Let there be the brightness of your light that shines, oh God. Those things the enemy has used, oh God, to bring chaos and confusion because they have been hidden. Let the light of God bring those things to the open that they may be dealt with. Somebody say hallelujah. I feel an anointing just rising up in me, like there are petitions that are going to be made tonight. There are eviction papers that are going to be signed to demonic principalities and powers that are going to be rendered powerless because of what God is going to do. I declare to you in your hearing that there is still power in the blood of Jesus to deliver, to save, to heal, and to restore. Father, we declare that tonight the blood that you said is speaking yet better things in Hebrews 12:24 is speaking better things concerning us tonight in the name of Jesus. Whatever the blood is saying, God, salvation, let salvation be established. Breakthrough, let breakthrough be established. Healing, God, let healing be made manifest in the name of Jesus, oh God. The blood is speaking favor. The blood is speaking life, God. Let that be our portion now. In the name of Jesus. And Father, we just come into agreement and we declare that indeed the blood of Jesus is fighting for us. Your word says we overcame the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And we say, God, tonight let the blood wage a war against our adversary. As he has been trying to abort our future, let the blood of Jesus put an end to that scheme that the enemy has been employing and deploying for your praise and for your glory. Father, I speak over somebody here tonight. God has clothed you in your right frame of mind in the name of Jesus. Words have been spoken over you that have no authority to shape your identity. They have no authority to shape your present. They have no authority to shape your future. We render them powerless now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. They will not define limitations in your life. They will not define success in your life, but God, only that which God has spoken concerning you shall be established in the name of Jesus. I tell you what, you are blessed in your coming and you are blessed in your going. Whatsoever you set your mind to do will not fail. It is going to succeed. Whatsoever you set your hands to do, I declare that it is going to be a success. Somebody say hallelujah. I feel the anointing that God is liberating somebody here tonight, that your past has been telling you that you are a failure. That is a voice of the enemy. We command it silence now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The word has said that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are a child of God. You can do greater things because of Christ that dwells in you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You are not an agent of death. You are an agent of life because you have been touched by life coming from eternity in the name that is above any other name. Hallelujah. I declare that you are engaged with thoughts of a higher order, not thoughts of darkness, but thoughts of light in the name of Jesus. We declare that you are not defeated, but you are victorious. You stand strong, not in your own strength, but in the strength of the Almighty God. Listen, I know that when we consider and we consider where we have been, you and I may have lived for a short time, but we have lived for a long time through our genealogy, genes, DNA being passed from one generation to another, generational patterns of iniquity moving from one generation to another, and the enemy has caused us to focus on the generational iniquities. But I declare over you that the generational blessings are about to overtake you in the name of Jesus. Generational blessings are about to overtake you. Generational inheritance appointed by God for your bloodline is about to overtake you for the praise and the glory of our Father in heaven. Listen, tonight I come in the name of Jesus to declare over you that you may be in Zarephath right now and you think you are about to die, but God is sending a prophetic word to you tonight. You are not going to die. You will live. You will prosper for the praise and the glory of our Father in heaven. I know that you are war, you are moving and living in a place where you think there is a disadvantage. But don't you know, haba sombre dodoro baka redo barikura bashande medo brasita bakara bochonde reprotokura bashande. There is a prophetic promise that was placed by God in the land where you are, and the key to unlock that promise is a prophetic word, and the prophetic word is going to come, is going to require your obedience. When you obey that word, you open the door for the praise and the glory of our Father in heaven. Somebody say hallelujah, because God is about to bless you. You thought you had to leave from where you are for God to bless you, and God is saying you are in the place that I have appointed for you to receive your blessing. You are in the place that I've appointed for you to receive your blessing. I hope somebody hears it tonight. You are not in the wrong place. You are in the right place. You are not at the wrong address. You are at the right place. Anybody hear me here tonight? You are in the right place. You are in the right place. God is sending a word saying you are in the right place. The place I intend to bless you is where you are. Listen, let me give you this. I'm moving along. It says in 1 Kings 17, 8 to 15, then the word of the Lord came to him, that's the prophet, saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, please, bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And she was going to get it. He called to her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin, and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me. And afterward, make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on earth. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord which is spoke by Elijah. This is what Elijah said, but there's something that I want to say. God said he's going to bless you in the place where you are. You are in the right place. It's the right time. And God is saying there is something that is in that place that has been ordained for you to receive. Why do I say that? I'm just doing this because I want you to understand about where you are. Don't complain, but rejoice and have an expectation that God is going to do something for you. It says, when you look at the place where Zarephath is, it's a city that is in the nation, in the place called Sidon, where the Zidonians or Sidonians used to stay. And you know the famous daughter of the Sidonians, that's Jezebel. Jezebel was born in this close to the city of Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon. And we know that when Joshua was dividing the inheritance, that place of Sidon was given to Asher, the eighth son of Jacob. One of the 12 tribes. His mother was Zilpah, Leah's maidservant. You know that his name says, happy am I, happy am I, happy am I. And we know the story that when Jacob was about to leave, he blessed his 12 sons. And this is what he said to Asher in Genesis 49, verse number 20. Bread from Asher shall be rich, and he shall yield royal dainties. Now, this is the blessing of Asher that God laid out as part of Asher's inheritance, which was also going to be affecting Sidon. Yet there is a widow in Zarephath who is about to die. Her oil is about to run dry. Her flour is about to come to an end. But yet God says in the place of Asher's inheritance, the bread, the flour shall not cease, and the oil shall not run dry. Yet there she is. The bread, the flour is about to go out. The oil is about to run dry. But God said, I'm sending you a prophetic word. The prophetic word is not just to sustain you, but the prophetic word is going to be used as a key, as a link to connect you with the blessing of Asher that says your oil shall not run dry. Your flour shall not run dry. Your bread shall be rich. Oh, so I'm saying God has you in the right place at the right time, and he is just sending us tonight to let you know that your prophetic word is coming. Be ready to operate in obedience to what God instructs you to do. Anybody hear me here tonight? If God says take all and go anoint the doors, go and anoint the doors, because God is linking you with the prophetic blessing that is in the place where you are right now. It may not look like it, but God is saying that's exactly where you are supposed to be. Anybody hear me here tonight in the name that is above any other name? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your blessing is coming. You may be in Zarephath, the very place where Jezebel was born, but God is sending a word to supersede what Jezebel is doing, and God is going to connect you with the blessing of Asher. Your bread will not run out. Your bread shall be rich, and your oil. Ah, Rabbi, let me just go a little bit deeper for you. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I gave you the blessing that Jacob pronounced over Asher. Anybody told you that your bread shall be rich? Your bread shall be rich. Bread is made of flour and oil. Was about to run out. You shall be filled with royal dainties. You will feed kings. You will feed all those different things. But here is what Moses said about Asher. Moses said, Asher is most blessed of sons. Let him be favored by his brothers, and let him dip his foot in oil. Your sandals shall be iron and bronze, and your day is your days, so shall your strength be. The place you are right now, the oil is about to run dry, yet there is a word that says your foot shall dip in oil. Your feet shall dip in oil. The devil is a liar. You are not going to die. You are not going to starve. But God is sending a word to connect you with a generational prophetic word that is in the place where you are, a generational blessing exactly where you are. You may be in Houston. There is a prophetic blessing there. You may be in Chicago. You may be in Mississippi. You may be wherever you are. There is a prophetic word that God is sending to connect you to the blessing that was laid up before you even get there. Can I just go a little bit deeper? Because it goes beyond you just being able to have bread and oil. It says this, your feet shall be as bronze. Anybody here? Oh, Rabasanda. He says, Asher is most blessed of sons. Let him be favored by his brothers. Let him dip his foot in oil. Your sandals shall be iron and bronze. As your days, so shall be your strength. Now, oh Lord, help me, Jesus. Says he is the most favored, most blessed of sons. Imagine he let him be favored by his brothers. This is what Jesus said. But truly, Luke 4:25-26. But I tell you truly, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 and 6 months, and there was a great famine through all the land. But God sent Elijah to a widow in Zarephath. Favor, favor, favor is coming your way. Favor is coming your way. Favor, I want to say it again. Favor, 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 favor. It's coming your way. Favor, favor. It's coming your way in the name of Jesus. In the place that conceived what's about to kill you, God is going to sustain you. God is going to sustain you. God is going to sustain you. I'm just letting somebody here know. God is about to release provision into your life. Provision is coming. Provision is coming. Uncommon blessings, uncommon favor is coming your way in the name of Jesus. All I'm just saying to you, believe, trust God, walk by faith and not by sight, by faith. Begin to thank God for the breakthrough. Begin to thank God for the provision. God is about to bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. God is about to bless you to make you a blessing to others. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, God, for sending a prophetic word to somebody to say you are not going to die, but God is going to sustain you. There is a prophetic blessing that is there that God is connecting you with in the name of Jesus. So keep your faith, keep your hope, Keep it alive. You may feel like you're an outcast, but God is sending a word. There is an assignment for you. God is going to sustain you through a prophetic word. Listen, Zarephath may be a place of suffering. It's a place of smelting. It says you may be in a place of pain and suffering. But we want to let you know that it is a place of destiny. Do not connect with the destiny of Jezebel or demonic spirits, but connect with the prophetic destiny of the place, the systems of God. How do you connect with the prophetic destiny of the place? You walk in obedience to the instruction that you are receiving. Let your faith arise. Let your level of obedience rise. And do allow God to stretch you. Let your discernment be activated that you may not miss your moment when the prophetic word comes. Do not be afraid to trust God with the little that you have. The little that you have is just a key to open up supernatural provision. Is just a key to open up supernatural provision. This is your moment for a breakthrough. This is your moment for your breakthrough. This is the moment for your breakthrough. Your obedience is going to unlock the door that you are about to walk through. Anybody hear me? In the name of Jesus. Walk in obedience, walk in obedience, walk in obedience. I want to say it again. Walk in obedience, walk in obedience, walk in obedience, walk in obedience, because God is about to do something in your life. Generational blessings are about to overtake you. They are about to overflow in your life. They are going to overflow to your sons and your daughters, to your grandchildren. They are about to overflow for the praise and the glory of our Father. Somebody say hallelujah. God is doing great and mighty things on your behalf. In the name of Jesus. Listen, I want to say this. I know that I'm just going through this because I want somebody to understand. But God, because sometimes you may be in a place of prosperity, in a place of destiny, but the enemy has been beating you so hard that you don't even recognize that you are in a place of destiny. You don't even recognize it because the warfare has been so hard and you're thinking, is it worth me staying here? Maybe I should move. It's because the enemy has an inclination that if you can just stay, if your eyes could just be opened, if you could just understand what heaven had to move to bring you to that place, you will start saying, God, I know I belong here. I know you called me here, and I know that my destiny has been tied to this place, oh God, and whatever you intended for me to receive here, I will receive it. I will receive it. So I pray that tonight, that God will open up your eyes for you to be able to see that you are not in a broken place, but you are in a place of destiny. You are not in a place of affliction, but you are in a place of destiny. You are not in a place of pain, but you are in a place of destiny. You are not in a place of insufficiency, but you are in a place of destiny. Oh, Rabasanda Bahai. Sometimes what unlocks your destiny, the full appearance of your destiny, is adversity. If I remember correctly, the word of God says all things work together for the good. They work for the good. So the enemy has been beating you so hard, thinking he's winning. But God is going to say, from your pain, there is going to be a cry that's going to bring your deliverance. Listen, because if you had never suffered the pain, I mean, I think I listen to too much preaching. Can I just go a little bit there? Listen, you have to understand that sometimes your pain is necessary. It serves a purpose. It serves a purpose because there is a cry that's going to proceed from you. It's going to come from a place of affliction, and that cry is going to cause the unveiling of your destiny. Because sometimes pain is going to cause you to confess your total dependency on God. Your total dependency on God because of your pain. And I'm saying to somebody here tonight, the place where you are right now, the place of your affliction, that is what you have known it so far as, the place of your affliction. But I'm saying, over the next coming days, it is going to be the greatest place of your triumph. It's going to be a place that's going to play a significant role in the future days to come. Because you're going to say, you are no longer going to say, this is the place where I was afflicted. You're going to say, this is the place where I was delivered. This is the place where I was empowered. This is the place where I had an encounter with God. This is the place that I saw the glory of God. This is the place where I saw the hand of God move upon me and my life. In that place of affliction, it's going to be the place of your testimony. That place of affliction. That's what God is doing. So when your eyes are open, you're going to see that it's a place of destiny. And when you realize that it's a place of destiny, there's going to be a download of wisdom coming over you. See, I know that I'm not going to leave this place because God is about to do something for me, in me, and through me. I declare that where you are right now, besides God coming to connect you with the destiny of that place, with the blessing of that place, God is going to show you the purpose as to why you had to be where you are. And you are going to be able to realize and discern when the enemy is playing his tricks to get you out of where you were supposed to be. You see, it would have made sense, one, for the widow to leave because there was nothing left. But God says, Elijah, I am sending you to the widow, not for you to have your last meal, but I'm sending you because I've commanded her to sustain you. I don't even want to go further. Let me just say this. You are going to be changed, transformed. The yoke over your life is going to be broken. There is elevation coming your way. There is increase. There is enlargement. There is going to be the facilitation of the room in your life. There is going to be making room for your life. Oh, listen, you have to understand something. Can I just go a little bit deeper for you? Can I just go a little bit deeper for you? Because you see what happens, there is an untold story in that particular verse. There's an untold story. Because she was a widow. She had a son. Now she has a man in the house. I hope you see the story. She's still story. Probably they were accusing her of shacking up with a man. Oh, okay. I don't want to go there. Because there's an untold story. There's an untold story. Because even though she was being sustained, there was going to be gossip around. But I'm letting you know that should never discourage you from doing what God has told you to do. Because see what happens? I believe that as long as Elijah stayed in that house, the oil will continue to flow. But if she had listened to the gossip, she would have been sustained for a few days. But I'm just telling you tonight, don't let the words of your haters discourage you from following what God has said. You do, because remember, as long, because the condition was, your job is to sustain the prophet. So for the prophet's sake, you are going to benefit. Oh, okay. If you receive a prophet as a prophet, you receive a prophet's reward. If you receive him as a righteous man, you will receive a righteous man's reward. She received him as a prophet, followed his word, sustained him, and she was being sustained. Now, this is the moment. This is the moment where Pastor Perkins makes this disclaimer. I am not going to take up an offering, okay? All I'm just saying is, listen to the voice of the Spirit of God and obey the instruction that he's saying. If the Holy Spirit says, go home, jump 5 times and shout hallelujah, just go home, jump 5 times, shout hallelujah, and be done with it. Oh man, listen, I haven't preached this to anybody, but I preached it to myself in the car yesterday. So we're gonna go there, and I'll be done just now. We're gonna go there because what I've just told you, that where you are is because God wants you to be there. There's a prophetic blessing that is there that God's gonna connect you with, and God is sending a prophetic word to connect you with the blessing, generational blessing that is there, that's gonna be a part of your inheritance. But you have to make a decision tonight. I hope you hear me, and you hear me well. I said I haven't preached this. I just preached it in my car all by myself. I could have taken up an offering for myself yesterday when I was driving. But here's what it is. What I'm about to tell you is going to change your life if you receive it. And here's what I'm going to tell you. For God's sake, can you just let God be God in your life? Just let God be God in your life. I hear that song, Jesus Take the Wheel. Can you just give God the driving wheel so God can drive? Just let God be God in your life. What am I saying? Because the instruction is not going to make any sense. But just let God be God. How do you let him go? How do you let God be God? Just obey what he says. Obey what he says. Obey what it says. Obey what it says. I says, let God be God in your joy. Let God be God in your sorrow. Let God be God. God has the power to bring you out. Let God be God. God is able to deliver you. God is able to save you. God is able to bring you out. Let God be God. He has the power to break every chain. Let God be God. He has the power to cleanse you. He will make a way out of no way. Let God be God. He is able to bring down the mountains. He is able to bring up the valleys. He is able to make the crooked places straight. Let God be God. God will deliver you out of your mess into greatness. Let God be God. He will save your sons, your daughters, and your grandchildren, and all your posterity. Let God be God. He has the power to translate you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of his son. Let God be God. For God's sake, he has all power in heaven and earth. Let God be God. Don't try to work it your way. Work it the way that God has said it must be done, because God is God. I know you have plans for your life. I know you have plans for your life. But God knows the thoughts he thinks about you. God has plans for your life. Let God be God. Let him take control. Listen. The reason why I brought this thing is that because in the place where you are, the enemy is waging war against you to move you out. But God is saying the battle is not yours. It belongs to God. So let God be God and let him fight the battle and bring victory. in the name of Jesus. So all you got to do, all you got to do is just tell him, God, the battle is on mine. It belongs to you. You fight for me. You fight for me. You fight for me. You vindicate me. You defend me. Listen, oh, Rabasande, Kurabasanda Baha. Maybe where you are right now, you just tell God, God, you are my shield. You are my defender. You are my buckler. You are my refuge. You are my fortress. You are my strong tower. I run into you, God, and I will find safety. I run into you, God, and I will find refuge. God, you know where I am. You know what I'm going through. You know what's coming my way. But I know that God, you make a way where they seem to be no way. Oh, in the name, just say, God, I'm just lifting up my hands and say, God, you are God. Do only what God can do and see what's going to happen. Listen, and then this, I'm almost, because I'm kind of like a little bit under the weather right here, but so I'm going to leave a little bit else today. But I want to say this in closing for you. Understand this. We have always been taught that God will make a way where there was no way, right? God will always make a way where there was what? No way. So this is what happened. This is what I told you. I think I'm having so much fun just having church all by myself, even though I go to church all the time. It's part of the program. But you can understand this. I was listening to a song by C.C. Winans. You move the immovable. You make the impossible possible, whatever it was. And then you make a way where there seemed to be no way. So I listened to that line, and something hit me. Something hit me. I said, because when I find myself in trouble, and I'm looking for a way out, I'm saying, God, show me the way that you have made out of no way. That's one. Maybe that was my wrong interpretation of that scripture, but that's what I've heard, and that's what my belief was. Then, but today, because now we're on Thursday, it was Wednesday yesterday. I'm driving, hearing that song, and the Lord, and then something just reminded me of a verse. Jesus said, "I am the truth, I am the way, and I'm the light." I'm like, wait a minute, wait a minute. He says, "I am the way." Wait a minute. God makes a way where there is what? No way. And God is saying, I am the way. Okay. Let me say it slowly so you can get it. God makes a way where there seems to be what? No way. But he says, I am the way. I'm going to say it one more time. Okay. God, I'm looking for a way out of this way. Show me the way that you have made. So you are looking for a door. You are looking for a space to escape. And he says, I am the way. So listen, where you are right now, you are looking for an exit. You are looking for a way out. And God is saying, look at me. Look at me. I am the way. Look at me. I am the way. So let me go back to my verse. The woman was about to die with her son. And the prophet says, go and make me this. Go and do this. The reason all those instructions were being given was to cause their focus not to look for a way out, but to look at the way out. So what am I saying to you today? I know you've been looking for a way out. The reason why you haven't seen the way out is because you're looking for the way in the wrong place. Because he is the way. He is the way. So, listen, you need a breakthrough where you are. Just look at him. He's the breakthrough you're looking for. You're looking for deliverance. He is the deliverance you're looking for. So the way you are looking for, he says, I am the way. So I just came with a few things for you. One, let God be God. Finish. Settle that. Let God be God. That's the first step of seeing that He is the way. He will deliver you from your mess because He is the way. He will deliver you from your pain because He is the way. He is the way. So whatever you are going through right now, you've been asking God for a prophetic word to show you which way to turn. I've just given you one. He is the way. He is the way out of what you are finding yourself in right now. He is the way out of it. He is the way. He is the way. He is the way. Now, let me say this again to you, and I'm done. Let God be God. In your joy, let God be God. In your sorrow, let God be God. God has the power to bring you out. He has the power to deliver you. He has the power to save you. He has the power to break every chain. He has the power to cleanse you. He is the way out of no way. He is able to bring down the mountains. He is able to raise up the valley, to make the crooked places straight. He will save your sons and your daughters. He will deliver you and your posterity. He will. He will. Why? He is God, and He has power to translate you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His Son. Why? Because He has all power in heaven and earth. So let God be God. Whatever you are going through right now, let God be God. Your family may be in chaos right now. Let God be God. Your marriage may be on the rocks right now. Let God be God. You may be having problems at your job right now. Let God be God. And you're going to see what is going to happen. The place where the enemy thought he has you pinned down, he had no idea that the way is stepping into the situation.